is smoking, and the rankings are heat. Number 4, Oklahoma.
People act like it's supposed to be easy. Winning championships is hard.
We expect it to be that way.
Number 3, Clemson.
I have a feeling when it's all said and done, they may tap dance every day.
Number 2, Ohio State.
We knew if we had to go win the whole thing, we're going to have to play the best.
Number 1, LSU.
We're a darn good football team. It don't matter where they rank us, where they tell us to go. Got to win the next game. That's all that matters.
This is the Path to the College Football Playoff on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Here's Paul Feinbaum and the number one ranked LSU Tigers.
The LSU Tigers began the season as the number 6 ranked team in the AP preseason poll. However, they found themselves behind SEC rivals Alabama and Georgia, making them an unlikely college football playoff team at the outset of the season. The Tigers had the talent, but analysts and fans complained about the team's unwillingness to evolve on offense. That all changed on January 26th. When head coach Ed Orgeron hired Joe Brady to be the team's passing game coordinator.
This opportunity to me to coach an elite program, you know, elite, you know, group of receivers, be able to put my stamp on the offense. To me, it was an opportunity that I didn't think I could turn down.
The results were immediate and on full display when LSU faced its first big test of the season, a week 2 trip to Austin for a showdown against the 9th ranked Texas Longhorns.
Burrow steps away from it, throws, catch made! Justin Jefferson has it at the 38, racing down the sideline, 10-5, touchdown, Tigers!
No defender can take a play off because we're going to make them defend the whole field and spread them out.
The Tigers would carry that momentum and continue to roll through their schedule, picking up huge wins over number 7, Florida, and number 9, Auburn. And everyone was beginning to realize that quarterback Joe Burrow had something special.
Joe, quick fire. Chase has it across the middle. Touchdown, Tigers!
Pocket closing, throws. Big ball down the right sideline. He's got Chase. Touchdown, LSU. Couldn't have thrown it any better.
The awareness in the pocket, the accuracy, precise accuracy, highly competitive football player. He could be the best quarterback in this draft, the number one quarterback by the time we get to late April.
He is a leader. With this kind of completion percentage and the touchdowns and the lack of interceptions, I'd have him on my draft board.
That success had LSU ranked 2nd in the country when the College Football Playoff Committee released its first rankings. But one major challenge remained for the Tigers, a trip to Tuscaloosa to face the defending SEC champion and 3rd-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide, a team that had beaten LSU 8 straight times.
We've had a lot of great games with these guys. I think everybody's been ranked in the top 20 since 2007. Kind of become a rivalry game because of the quality of the program.
There's more passion behind your pads when you play LSU as an Alabama player. Get ready, folks. This one is going to get nasty.
When I saw LSU play Texas, I was already thinking about November 9th. I can't wait to watch Burrow and Tua go head-to-head, and now that week is here.
Alabama received the opening kickoff and quickly marched down the field, leaving LSU fans to think, here we go again. But that's when it all changed.
Here's Tua. Calls his own number. He's going to roll. He's at the 5. He lost the ball. He fumbled the ball at the 6-yard line.
Burrow looking left, delivers the football. Todd Edwards-Helaire, got it in the left corner. Touchdown, Tigers! Hand to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Goes near side, stiff arms a man, gets to the 5, breaks through, stays upright, into the end zone! Touchdown, Tigers!
It was a coming out party for running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire as LSU took a commanding 33-13 lead into halftime. And despite a late second half push from the Tide, LSU continued its undefeated season.
Burrow under center, takes the snap, takes the knee, and the LSU Fighting Tigers come to Tuscaloosa. And for the first time in 8 seasons, and Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide, a loss here at Bryant-Denny. Coach Ed Orgeron said a couple of years ago, the Tigers were coming. Today, they arrive.
With Alabama out of the way, the Tigers had their sights squarely set on bigger goals. And while they were putting together a championship resume, their star QB was putting together a season of his own.
No matter what happens the rest of the season, Joe Burrow,
come on down and get your Heisman Trophy. You are going to be the Heisman Trophy winner. There's no need for anybody to vote. The election is over. The polls are closed.
Right now, he's going to be hanging out in New York with that trophy.
I realize team success breeds all the individual awards, and that's all that's ever mattered to me. You know, when my stats weren't great last year and we were winning games, I said the same thing. I'm going to say the same thing this year.
The win over Alabama vaulted LSU to the top of the college football playoff rankings as their offense continued to dominate. But after allowing another 37 points in a win over Ole Miss, some had questions about the other side of the ball. After falling to number 2 in the rankings, the Tigers set out to make a statement against their final regular season opponent, Texas A&M.
Dropping back, Mond. It's intercepted by LSU's Kerry Vincent. And it's a turnover here, another interception thrown today. 3 of them by Kellen Mond. Victory formation. The Tigers have taken a knee. The clock will wind down its final 20 seconds. And they win it going away here tonight over Texas A&M. The final score, LSU 50, Texas A&M 7.
The last remaining hurdle to jump for LSU was the SEC Championship game, a highly anticipated matchup against the number 4-ranked SEC East champion, Georgia Bulldogs. However, like most of LSU's opponents, Georgia was overmatched by the vaunted Tigers.
From first down throws, Derek Stingley takes it away at about the 25-yard line. The INT, his second of the ball game, sets up LSU just outside the Bulldog 10. Victory formation takes the snap and will take a knee. Tigers come off the far sideline as Coach Ed Orgeron and his Fighting Tigers move to 13-0. And more importantly, pick up their first SEC title game victory since 2011.
Although the committee had LSU ranked behind Ohio State the prior 2 weeks, there was little doubt about where the Tigers would end up when the final rankings were released.
LSU, the Bayou Bengals, making it into the playoff for the first time. They are number 1. We'll go to Atlanta.
LSU 4-0 against teams in the top 13. The last couple of weeks, we've seen an LSU defense healthy and playing better. Continued quality play out of Joe Burrow at the quarterback position. And this week, we just felt that LSU deserved that number 1 seed going into the playoff.
With the number 1 seed in the college football playoff locked up, Joe Burrow had accomplished the team goal that he had set out. And even though he says he doesn't care about individual awards, there was no question that the highest honor in college football was his.
And now it's time to welcome a new member into our Heisman family. It is my pleasure to announce the 2019 winner and 85th recipient of the Heisman Memorial Trophy is Joe Burrow, Louisiana State University. Congratulations, LSU.
When I lift this trophy again, it's for LSU, Ohio State, Southeast Ohio, and all of Louisiana. Thank you.
The LSU Tigers will face the Oklahoma Sooners in the college football playoff on December 28th, right here on ESPN Radio and ESPN TV. And head coach Ed Orgeron has one final message to everyone out there.
Go Tigers!
This is the path to the college football playoff on ESPN Radio. Up next, the Oklahoma Sooners.
Oklahoma wins in overtime! And they've just played themselves into the college football playoff.
They're a complete team.
They'll come in swinging, and it'll be a heck of a battle.
This is the path to the college football playoff on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Now, here's Paul Feinbaum and the Oklahoma Sooners.
For the Oklahoma Sooners, their biggest move of the 2019-2020 season likely came all the way back in January.
Former Bama quarterback Jalen Hurts, who went 26-2 as a starter in 3 seasons, is transferring to Oklahoma.
Head coach Lincoln Riley went into the transfer portal to get his starting quarterback, just like Heisman Trophy winners Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray before him.
Jalen's a talented kid. I mean, as I evaluated him when he became available as a graduate transfer, I mean, I felt like that he had every skill set necessary to run our offense extremely well.
Baker's Baker, Kyler's Kyler, and I'm me.
Yeah, everybody wants to achieve their goals. Everybody wants to do those things, but it's not about me. I'm stepping back from it. The biggest thing about this thing is achieving what we want as a team.
And what they wanted to achieve as a team was another trip to the college football playoff, something Oklahoma had done both of the last two seasons under Mayfield and Murray. And Jalen Hurts and the Sooners got off to just the start they were looking for.
Snap to Hurts. Play action. Straight drop. Looks right. Lobs it out to CD. Caught at the 12. Makes a man miss at the 10. At the 5. Touchdown. TD for CD. And Oklahoma cashes in. It's a fake pitch. Hurts turns it up. Dances sideways into the end zone. Touchdown, Jalen Hurts. There's the snap. Hurts will run it himself over the right side. Makes a cut. First down. And he's going to score. Right through the middle of the UCA defense for a touchdown. Straight drop. Pocket collapses. He'll run it himself. He's got all kinds of room. 10-5, he'll walk in. Easy like Sunday morning.
The Sooners jumped out to a 5-0 start, and the move to bring in Hurts paid immediate dividends.
I've said it before, I think the reality is I'm not the same player I was as an 18-year-old freshman, a 19-year-old sophomore, and last year.
I don't know if there's a bigger story than what he's been able to do in this new system. Man, right now, he just looks like a guy that has answers to the questions.
The first test of the season came in the Red River rivalry game against the 11th-ranked Texas Longhorns. And like they had been doing all season, Jalen Hurts and wide receiver CeeDee Lamb lit up the scoreboard.
Lob out, CD wide open, caught at the 30, to the 25, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! TD for CD! Oh, mama! Pass time now, he's lobbing late toward CD, caught at the 10, breaks away to the 5, he's still on his feet, and he pogos! Touchdown! How did he do that?
With everything rolling right for the Sooners, it seemed like nothing could stop them. Especially not a trip to Manhattan to face the unranked Kansas State Wildcats.
Thompson will run the ball. He is in again. Skylar Thompson with another touchdown run. And Kansas State leads number 5 Oklahoma.
And they end the true road winning streak for Oklahoma. What a win for Kansas State. A celebration underway here in Manhattan.
These moments test your poise. They test them in a way that you can't. It's difficult to simulate. We've been through this road. Everybody in the world's going to say we're done. We know how this works.
By them losing a game now and losing it to Kansas State, I think the rest of college football now breathes a collective sigh of relief because they were the first domino to fall.
This loss, it hurts the Big 12's chances of getting in the playoff.
When the College Football Playoff Committee rolled out its initial rankings in early November, Oklahoma was ranked 9th, and they knew the road ahead of them was going to be difficult.
Oklahoma, as far down as they are, I'd be a little concerned because they've got to climb. They need some losses.
Playing with a chip on their shoulders, the Sooners welcomed Iowa State to town the following week. But again, Oklahoma struggled against an unranked foe.
Throws the fade for the end zone. Leaping, catching, touchdown Iowa State. 42-41 with 24 seconds remaining.
Oh, Purdy drops back after taking the snap. Throws, back shoulder in the end zone into double coverage. Interception. And the Sooners get the stop and hold a one-point lead with 24 seconds remaining.
Oklahoma survived this time, but confidence in the Sooners was waning. That's when they traveled to Waco to take on the undefeated conference rival Baylor in a game OU desperately needed. After falling behind 28-3 in the first half, the Sooners rallied.
Throwing for the end zone. Hurts! Touchdown! Oklahoma! Braden Willis on the touchdown catch. Holds the Sooners within a point with 5:25 to play. 31-yard attempt for the lead. All tied at 31. Snap back, ball down, kick gets away, and it's right down the middle. And Oklahoma leads 34-31. Throws to the left side, intercepted by Oklahoma.
It's Benito.
Benito got it, and the Oklahoma sideline explodes.
Wow.
As they take over with 29 seconds left, leading 34-31.
Oklahoma's come-from-behind victory over the Bears had them still hanging on the fringes of the playoff hunt. They would go on to win their next two contests, but perhaps the biggest game of the season for the Sooners was one that wasn't even played in their conference.
And they'll Handed to him, running straight forward for the end zone. Touchdown, Oregon. Handed off, Verdell running straight forward, broke through the hole. Touchdown, Oregon. Hands it off to Verdell, hole right side. He gone, 10-5, touchdown, Oregon. And that's an exclamation point here in the Pac-12 championship.
With Oregon's victory over one-loss Utah, the door had opened for the Sooners.
Hurts takes the snap. It's again. Stevenson's into the end zone. Ramondre Stevenson. Oklahoma touchdown here to start overtime. Zeno under pressure. Zeno throws as he's hit. It's up for grabs. It's knocked down, incomplete. Oklahoma wins in overtime. Their fifth straight Big 12 championship. And they very likely might have just played themselves into the college football playoff.
With their second win over Baylor of the season, Oklahoma just needed LSU to win the SEC championship game over Georgia, which they did, and that meant for the third straight season, the Sooners will have a chance to win it all.
At number four,
all right, there we go.
Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts transfers to Oklahoma, senior quarterback. 4 years, 4 years in the playoff.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Oklahoma do really good things, find a way to win this game, and even potentially go all the way.
Dorian Oka, Mel Kiper here from Dorian Mel as we take a look at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Melman, LSU and Oklahoma. Let's start with who we know will not be in the game, and that's three Sooners, two of them key because of suspension. Sooner Scoop first reporting that earlier in the week, last week. But it starts with Ronnie Perkins to me. Defensive end, leads the team in sacks, seems to live in the opponent's backfield. Also out, Ramondre Stevenson, backup tailback, who's awfully explosive and really provides the breather for Kennedy Brooks, the starting tailback. Trajan Bridges, reserve wide receiver, depth, eight catches all year, not a big loss there. But I think it starts with Perkins because that, to me, is significant.
It's significant because the defense is the big issue, and this is one of your best defensive players, if not your best, and a guy that has brought pressure. Now, teams have eliminated the sack numbers a little bit, negated the sack numbers, but you're still disruptive, and you're still a guy that if they're going to occupy you and they're going to really prepare for you, that opens up opportunities for everybody else, makes the defense better, Dari. So you don't want to have all your players not available. You want everybody out there. Unfortunately, you mentioned Stevenson. He's averaging 8 yards a carry. That leads the team. You want everybody available, and you don't have that right now for Oklahoma.
No, and that's a big question there. And they're going to have to find some depth. Turner Yell, safety, starting safety, also out for the game. Broke his collarbone in practice in the week. I mean, this is now you don't have Dylan Turner Yell. You don't have Ronnie Perkins. You don't have Ramondre Stevenson. These are key losses. But on the LSU side, you know, the Clyde Edwards-Helaire news and a hamstring injury, this is significant too because they're going to have to get big-time production from guys that are freshmen. And replacing 1,300 yards on the ground and 50 catches is not going to be an easy task for the Tigers.
Now, Davis Price and Emery, both true freshmen. They're both highly recruited. Emery, obviously, a big-time recruit, had an elite grade coming out of high school, but he only had 36 carries on the year. Davis Price had 60 carries. Edwards-Helaire had 197 carries, Dari, and he also caught 50 passes out of the backfield, and 38 of those receptions came over the last six games. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire is big-time, and not having him will obviously be pivotal unless Emery or Davis Price can pick up the slack. And now, hey, they're talented. Now they have opportunity.
No doubt.
This is the Path to the College Football Playoff on ESPN Radio. Up next, the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Ohio State, all season long, has been motivated by all the doubters.
This team knew they were going to this place.
I mean, we got to be ready to execute at a high level because the margin for error will be tiny. So we got to be really on our game as coaches and as players as we prepare.
Buckeye Nation, you have my word that I'm going to give everything I have to continue the tradition of excellence.
Chase Young is a free.
Sacked at the 4-yard line. It's Chase Young again.
If we had to go win the whole thing, we're going to have to play the best.
This is the Path to the College Football Playoff on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Now here's Paul Feinbaum and the Ohio State Buckeyes.
The Buckeyes offseason started with a shock. Head coach Urban Meyer, who had led the team to the first ever college football playoff national championship in 2015, retired from coaching and handed the reins to his offensive coordinator.
I'm honored to have represented my home state and this great university the past seven seasons. It has always been the goal to see a healthy, strong program handed to an elite coach in person, and I want to congratulate Ryan Day and his family.
to Buckeye Nation, you have my word that I'm going to give everything I have to continue the tradition of excellence and winning that this program has enjoyed during its storied career.
And that wasn't the only preseason change Ohio State would make as they went into the transfer portal and brought in former Georgia QB Justin Fields.
This young man is a freak. He's not just your average quarterback. He's the type of player that can go into a program, start day one, and take that program to the college football playoffs.
Despite starting the season with a new head coach and a new quarterback, the Buckeyes showed that they were a contender yet again this season.
Justin Fields in the shotgun, gets the snap. Cox his arm, throws left corner of the end zone. Austin Mack comes down with a football and a defender.
Touchdown.
Touchdown.
Yeah.
Austin Mack.
Yeah, and now a slant, and that's Cody White, who lost the football. It's loose. And the Buckeyes, Malik Harrison has the takeaway, exactly what the Spartans did not need.
We try to keep it week to week because in the recent years, as we all know, we've definitely slipped up in the past. So we're definitely not doing that again this year. So we're just going to try to focus on game by game and just take one game at a time.
Ohio State steamrolled to a 7-0 record, beating every team on their schedule by at least 24 points, setting up their first big test of the season, a matchup with the 13th-ranked Wisconsin Badgers.
Jack Cohn of the shotgun, he's got the ball in his hands. Back to throw, hit while throwing, and the ball's in the air as defensive end Chase Young came over there and hit Cohn while he was throwing the football. After Cohn bobbled it for a bit, knocked away from him by Chase Young and picked up by Pete Werner. Defensive end Chase Young separated Jack Cohn from the football.
The Buckeyes rolled easily over the Badgers 38-7, and Chase Young loudly announced his presence with 4 sacks in the game, prompting many to tout the defensive end as a superstar in the making.
I'm just glad he's on my team. I mean, you know, Chase is the best defensive player in the nation, so he's definitely the leader of the defense.
Chase Young's an absolute game wrecker, all right? And he's a guy you got to account for. He affects the way opposing offensive coordinators call games.
Chase Young is a freak. I know that's not breaking news to any of you guys. He's just unblockable when you put one guy on him. It's unreal to watch.
Ohio State's 8-0 record, combined with their complete dominance, had them atop the very first college football playoff rankings.
I look at Ohio State, and I think they're the best team.
I think the committee got it right, frankly.
They have probably improved as much as any defense in the country, and they are now playing complementary football. They are the most complete team, not just this year, but maybe that I can remember.
The first adversity the Buckeyes would face on the season wouldn't come on the field.
Breaking news into the Sports Center desk. Ohio State star defensive end Chase Young is being held out this weekend against Maryland as the school investigates a possible NCAA rules violation in what Young says was a loan from a friend.
I just think the NCAA is just a bunch of nonsense. This man got a loan, paid it back, and now he has to sit out?
Fortunately for Ohio State, Chase Young was only forced to sit out 2 games, contest the Buckeyes would win easily before his return against the 8th-ranked Penn State Nittany Lions.
Clifford wipes his hands, raises him to the face mask. Here comes the snap. Spins the football. Chase to left of the pocket. Sacked at the 4-yard line. It's Chase Young again.
Fields to throw. Looking for the end zone. Olave leaps. Touchdown, Buckeyes. What a catch by Chris Olave off the arm of Justin Fields.
Snap taken, a knee down by Justin Fields. And they're celebrating in Columbus. So Ohio State's going to be 11-0 and will head to Ann Arbor to take on the Wolverines.
That left Ohio State with just one regular season hurdle to clear, a showdown in Ann Arbor versus Jim Harbaugh and his 13th-ranked Michigan Wolverines.
Back to throw from his 35. Fields steps up, looks, and he fires long down the right side for Olave. Got it at the 5 and into the end zone goes Olave. And Ohio State's Chris Olave continues to burn Michigan. Cranks and fires toward the end zone. Wilson's goal for a touchdown. Garrett Wilson, the Buckeye freshman receiver, underneath a pass from Justin Fields. Teague going straight ahead, and Teague's going to be grabbed by Josh Metellus, the safety, and ball slowed game. Just shy of the 50-yard line. Clock at zeros, and it's 8 in a row for Ohio State as the Buckeyes come to Ann Arbor and they defeat Michigan by a score of 56-27.
With an undefeated regular season, Ohio State advanced to the Big Ten championship game for a rematch with the Wisconsin Badgers, although it didn't go quite as smoothly the second time around.
Coe trying to sneak it. He'll push his way in. Touchdown, Wisconsin. Jack Cohn burrows his way in.
Fields will take the snap from a kneeling position, and the half will come to an end. Again, our score here at the half, 21-7. Wisconsin, Fields with the ball, back to throw. Looking left, looking middle of the field, fires middle of the field, and it's caught at the 5. And dancing into the end zone goes Ohio State's receiver, K.J. Hill. And Ohio State has their first lead of the night. Cohn now running to the right side. Cohn will get to the 5-yard line, and he's knocked out of bounds at the 3 by defensive back Josh Proctor.
That's it.
That's going to end the ball game as Ohio State comes from behind to win their 38th Big Ten championship.
I think when you look at our resume and what we've done, this three-game stretch was unlike I think any team has had in the country. Again, if there's a better team out there, I'd like to see it.
Despite head coach Ryan Day's pleas to the committee, Ohio State was not able to secure the top spot in the college football playoff.
At number 2, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Ohio State slips from number 1.
Ohio State, all season long, has been motivated by all the doubters. And that was the fuel that really propelled them throughout this season and caused them to dominate the way they did. And now, Ohio State, once again, they get the chance to be the underdog.
This team knew they were going to this place, and you could see it building. You could just see the confidence in this team and being different.
We knew if we had to go win the whole thing, we're gonna have to play, you know, everybody, play the best.
And first up for the Buckeyes as they try to win the whole thing is the number 3 seed and defending champion Clemson Tigers, winners of 2 of the last 3 national championships.
This is the path to the college football playoff on ESPN Radio. Up next, the Clemson Tigers.
Tell me how it is that when you've won 28 in a row, you can get your team motivated by a perceived disrespect card.
Y'all make it easy for me.
This season is shaping up perfect for Dabo Swinney.
These guys are getting everybody's best effort consistently.
Morris back to throw. Dumps it over the top, down the middle. Caught in stride. Touchdown, Clemson.
Yeah, we're just glad to be in it. Credit goes to these players. They've worked their butts off.
This is the path to the college football playoff on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Now, here's Paul Feinbaum and the Clemson Tigers.
Coming off their second college football playoff national championship in the past 3 years, Dabo Swinney and Clemson were a strong bet to make another postseason run. They were ranked number 1 in the preseason AP poll for the first time in program history, and expectations for the team and their Heisman favorite quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, were as high as ever.
He's the most talented guy in the country. If I was starting a team and I had to pick one guy, I would pick Trevor Lawrence as my guy.
Quarterback's going to be great. They got Frisbee catching dogs. Their line's going to be out of sight. Travis Etienne's all-world player.
The way they dismantled Alabama and the fact that that receiving core that returns, along with the best quarterback in college football returning, Clemson not only is number 1, but deserves to be number 1 as well.
Clemson faced an early test when number 12 Texas A&M came to town, but it was a test that the Tigers easily passed.
Lawrence will keep it and take it in the end zone for 6. Safety to number 9, 16, kept it. 16-3, Clemson with 33 seconds left first half.
Clemson would go on to beat the Aggies 24-10, and after a pair of blowout wins over Syracuse and Charlotte, everyone expected their dominance to continue against the unranked North Carolina Tar Heels in Game 5.
Howell with Williams to his right. Hands it to him. Javonte.
That's a touchdown.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Carolina! And the Tar Heels are going for 2 and the lead with 1:14 to go.
He waits to take a shotgun snap. Brings a man in motion. And will keep it, running it. Keeping it, driving, and he won't get there. Stop shy, then he pitched it late, but he was knocked out of bounds, and Clemson holds defensively.
Clemson had survived the upset bid, but doubt started to creep in about this year's version of the Tigers.
These guys are getting everybody's best effort consistently, and I feel like there's so much pressure there to win. It's a young team. They got to learn a lot.
What they're not focusing on is execution,
yeah, right.
And it's really about the game within the game. You know, we talk about that cliche, but it's really about are the players challenging the other players. I don't believe that's happening within the players.
He did not look like the Trevor Lawrence that we saw last year at the end of the season that was clicking on all cylinders. You go, wow, that dude is special.
Clemson would roll through its next four opponents handily. But when the first college football playoff rankings came out on November 5th, the Tigers were not in the top four, and most analysts were questioning their place in the playoff picture.
I would argue that Penn State should be ahead of Clemson. They have marquee wins, and Clemson has zero.
I jokingly say the ACC stands for the already crowned Clemson Conference. There's nobody else. And their strength of schedule is going to be weak.
Here's probably the most interesting spot. Number five, who is it? Clemson.
There you go.
That's what we were wondering about. And there's nobody on earth happier than Dabo Swinney right now to be able to use this. They don't respect us.
If you're a Clemson fan, take a deep breath. Everything is fine. If Clemson wins out, they're in the playoff.
Clemson would continue to dominate its underwhelming schedule. And all that stood between them and a second consecutive unbeaten regular season was a date with in-state rival South Carolina.
Clemson 38, South Carolina 3, as the Clemson Tigers are going to go to 12-0 on the season, a date with Virginia, the ACC championship game about an hour and a half north of here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
It's huge from a national standpoint because obviously if we lose this game, I mean, they're going to kick us out. They don't want us in there anyway. I mean, we'd drop to 20. It's a dadgum mistake. So it's big because they can't vote us out. We got to go 30-0. I mean, we ain't got no choice. But we don't play nobody.
Despite Dabo's claims that the committee wanted them out, their path was clear. Beat Virginia in the ACC championship game and secure a fifth consecutive trip to the college football playoff.
Morris back to throw. Dumps it over the top, down the middle. Caught in stride. Touchdown Clemson for Justin Ross. 59 yards. Hands it off to ETN. Running forward. Dragging the defender inside the 10. 5. Touchdown Clemson. 26 yards to the house. Clemson stretching their lead. It's 23-7. Snap back. Ball down. And that'll do it. The clock winds towards zero. Congratulations to the Clemson Tigers. Champions of the ACC for 2019.
You can tell by the way they're celebrating, they have more on their minds as they want to become repeat national champions.
We're 13-0, third time in the history of our school. Surely they're going to send us somewhere to play after this. And then we need everybody to buy some tickets and travel wherever we're going. And let's get ready for the next one.
With their ticket punched, all that was left was to find out where they would be headed on December 28th.
Let's look at number three. We assume this is going to be the Clemson Tigers, the reigning national champions, and it is.
Yes, they're a great undefeated team, but their resume does not compare at all to Ohio State and LSU. That's why they are where they are.
You know, we're just glad to be in it. Credit goes to these players. They've worked their butts off. This is what happens when you win the ACC championship. You get a chance to go play for the whole thing, and we're excited about it.
By securing the number three seed in the college football playoff, the Clemson Tigers will head out to Arizona to take on the second-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes in the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. And you can bet Dabo will tell you his Tigers are an underdog, even if they're playing for a chance to reach the national championship for the fourth consecutive year.
I think all of this stuff from him is just like Nick Saban. He's not talking to you. He's not talking to me. He's not talking to the fans. He's not talking to the media. He is talking to his team. He wants them to continually feel disrespected so when they show up, they play out of their mind.
Dari Noka, Mel Kiper here from Dari and Mel on ESPN Radio as we take a look at the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. Melman, the second of the two semifinals on Saturday, of course, the 28th. And you've got, of course, for Ohio State, Justin Fields. Just one interception all season. Incredible stability at the quarterback position. And for Clemson, a defense that has effectively, strongly replenished the vacancies created by all four of those defensive linemen a year ago. What excites you most about the offense against the defense, the Buckeye offense against that Clemson Tiger defense?
I think the guy you got to watch is Isaiah Simmons for Clemson. He's a linebacker who has that safety cornerback mentality, and he's a terrific all-around player. Impacts the game in so many ways. He leads the Clemson Tigers in tackles, tackles for loss, sacks. He's third in pass breakups. He's a special player, Dari. And I think that's the guy Justin Fields has to be aware of. You maybe think you got a matchup advantage, but you really don't. I've seen this guy run with running backs. He's run with wide receivers. He's turned and looked back, so he's flipped the hips like a corner playing against wideouts. So Isaiah Simmons is a unique talent. He's going to be a top five, top seven pick come late April in the first round. And I want to see how he does with Fields in terms of maybe coming away with an interception. They're going to have to. They're going to need Simmons to play big in this game, and he certainly has that capability.
You know, everybody around the country kind of has stopped paying attention to Clemson because of the schedule. It's been weak. We know that. It's been soft. They haven't seen anybody close to the likes of Ohio State all season. We understand that. They also, in many cases, quit paying attention to the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. But Trevor Lawrence hasn't thrown an interception since October 19th, and since then, in six games, has thrown 20 touchdown passes. What is he doing now that could cause Ohio State defensively some trouble? And if you're the Buckeyes, how do you begin to have some success against him?
Well, I think the key for the Buckeyes is you have a lockdown corner in Jeff Okudah. And he, we talk about Derek Stingley for LSU, Okudah is a top five guy come late April as a corner, and Arnett on the other side. So you have, like, LSU has two corners, Dari, so does Ohio State. And they go across the board in that secondary with guys who can match up and cover, but particularly a cornerback. They got guys who can make plays. And I think that's something Lawrence has to be aware of. Obviously, T. Higgins, you got a 6'4" angular receiver with a real good catch radius. He is really getting the job done now. So Higgins emerging, I think, with the size at 6'4" frame that he has and the length, will be a nice matchup to watch for NFL scouts to see Higgins against Okudah or Arnett in that football game.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, too, if Ohio State with J.K. Dobbins is able to effectively establish a run against that Clemson defense that has played so well, really, the vast majority of the season. A lot of good, fun matchups to watch, of course, when Ohio State hooks up with Clemson out in the desert.
The path to the college football playoff on ESPN Radio.